Hello and welcome, taxation readers, to this week's podcast, issue number 4296, which will be available to view online from the 16th of March 2011 and, of course, in print the following day. I'm Rachel Down and I'm joined by the editor of Taxation himself, Mike Treatman.
Hi there.
Hi. Before we begin, it's that time of year again where we need to remind listeners to visit the Taxation Awards site via the external links tab at the bottom of our homepage to book your tables for the Taxation Awards Ceremony 2011. Unfortunately, if you haven't put forward your nominations, you have just missed the deadline. However, we would still love to have you and your company join us in celebrating the highlights of the tax world on the 26th of May.
It's a fantastic evening. Yeah, do come along. It's a good way to celebrate what's the best in the profession.
Yeah. So, moving on to our issue this week, Mark McLaughlin begins by commenting on HMRC's replacement of the ESC C16 form in his article, Poor Replacement. Mike, what are your views on the new draft?
Yeah, Mark McLaughlin here. He's ESC C16, everyone will be aware, is the way that you can strike off companies without going through a whole process of liquidation. We've used it for many, many years. It's sort of become part of the fabric of the tax system. And what they're saying is that you'll only be able to do it where the assets don't exceed £4,000. Now, that's a pretty substantial change. The revenues seem to be worried about avoidance. They don't specify exactly what avoidance it is. I mean, readers will be able to work out what some of the possibilities are. But this does seem to be a bit of a sledgehammer to crack a nut. And I suspect that all it will lead to is other forms of attempts at avoidance. I mean, you can see ways of capitalising the profits and then, I don't know, repaying the share capital. I mean, it will just get very messy if this goes through as it stands, I think, which is a bit of a shame, a bit of a surprise that it came out the way it did.
Okay, so next we have two business tax articles, Wrong Footed by Andrew McKenzie Smart, who looks at the tax issues arising from the spot fixing scandal, and Dean Wotton's Longer Letting, which recaps on the effects of the new rules for furnished holiday lettings. What would you say our readers have to look forward to within these articles?
Andrew McKenzie Smart's is quite fun, apart from anything else. I mean, it's looking at what happened with the cricketing scandal last year. Having said that, I should explain that the example we then give is entirely hypothetical and nothing whatsoever to do with the cricket scandal that, or potential alleged, whatever word I need to use, scandal that happened last year. People who know the background will recognise that we've mixed the bodyline bowling controversy, a missing Duke, and the novel Scoop from Evelyn Waugh in order to get our example. But the practicalities are, I mean, it's about, firstly, payments that are criminal and the deductibility of them for tax, and then also badges of a trade, which is something that the readers will be very familiar with. But, I mean, at what point does getting involved in something like this, albeit illegal, constitute a trade on which you are chargeable to tax on the profits? So that's quite fun. And Dean Wotton's is about the new furnished holiday lettings. In particular, what you have to worry about is this new rule about being let for 105 days. And Dean's got some interesting information, which you are going to have to read the article to find, about the new period of grace, the 2 years that you're able to miss those targets, and when they apply from, because it's going to be an important thing to get across to people.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot about the furnished holiday lettings rules recently.
It's been it is such a big issue these days. So many people are taking advantage of them that we do need, or people need to know exactly how these new rules are going to apply.
Yeah. Okay, so lastly, for articles this week, we have Rewriting the Script, which is Anne Redstone's review of the ITV case in which she asks which entertainers in particular are deemed to be employees for NIC purposes. Anne makes some interesting points within this Taxation of Employees article. Could you explain this a little further?
Yeah, I used to have, when I had my own practice, I had actors as clients. And the revenue have always been a bit unhappy about them. And during the time I was practising, they tried to make them all employees for tax purposes. Found they couldn't do that. But they've always had this anomalous position of being self-employed for tax, but employees for national insurance, which can be quite helpful for the more struggling ones, which is 98.5% of them. Yeah. But there's a bit of a problem for those who are at the top end. And it's about them, really. It's the key talent people on equity contracts. And the argument is that, firstly, they're paid for their time, even though the argument was they're paid to be made available, not paid for actual work. Tribunal rejected that. But then the other thing that Anne looks at is the whole issue of whether they're paid on a regular basis and what the problems that you could raise when they are paid on invoice. And she doesn't think that the tribunal really looked at that properly. Then where do you go? Because can you go for appeal? Will we need a new case? It's not over yet, I think, is Anne's suggestion, and well worth looking at if right. you deal with those sorts of clients.
Okay, so as always, we mustn't forget to keep badgering on with our Right to Reply campaign.
Absolutely not.
So if you've had a problem, please remember to contact your local MP and send us a copy so we can make a difference. That's about it for this week's podcast. Thank you to Mike for your views, and of course to you for listening. And until next time, have a great week.
Yeah, bye now.